Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah. Hear these words. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This too is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1951, the first service in Cox Memorial Chapel was held. Merle Bennett and Norman Crittenden of the architectural firm Bennett and Crittenden received commission to carry out an expansion project for our church between the years of 1945 and 1951, and Cox Memorial Chapel was the last building to be completed. Merle Bennett, who had trained and studied in Europe, designed the Gothic details of this chapel's interior, as well as the ornamentation and the stonework of this chapel's exterior. The chapel was designed with great intention. It was designed so that everything that you see would invite you to look beyond it to find God. If you'll look with me for a moment, for example, at our rose window, you'll notice that it's a variation of five intersecting circles, and in the middle is a five-pointed gold star, and this actually represents the Star of Bethlehem, as well as the first five books of our Old Testament. And if you look a little closer, inside that gold star is a circle, which is the symbol for eternal life, and inside that circle, if you look a little closer, is a cross, which has four equal arms. This is a Greek cross, and it actually represents our charge to take the gospel to all four corners of the earth. If you look at the colors of the rose window or the colors of any of our stained glass, you'll see that they're gold, which represents truth. They're also green, which represents eternal life. They're blue, which represents heavenly strength. And they're also ruby, which represents sacrifice. Our chancel in Cox Chapel was designed so that the communion table would always sit in the center of us, in the center of it, and it reminds us in worship that communion is always the center of our worship. It's always the focus of our worship. And above our communion table hangs our gold cross, and that cross was designed and intended to be empty, to remind us that Christ is no longer here, but Christ is risen. It reminds us of the perfect sacrifice that was made on Calvary, and it also reminds us of the new life and hope that we have because of the resurrection. Since 1951, Cox Chapel has been used to host all types of worship. There's always been a freedom in this space to try new things. And so we've had today services here. We've had contemporary services, acoustic services, and even high church services. And Cox Chapel, too, has been a home to many great pastors, including Bill Dickinson, Grady Hardin, Floyd Patterson, Eric Folkerth, Cheryl Murray, and most recently, Jeff Hall. Some of you in this very room are part of families that span 3, 4, and 5 generations who have all worshiped in this space. Others of you have found love and envisioned your future in this space. And for a lot of us, this chapel has hosted many of our lives' greatest moments, our baptisms, our weddings, our loved ones' funerals. Cox Chapel is rich in history, both architecturally and in pastoral witness. It has been, for many of us, a place of worship for generations. But for others of us, it's new. Maybe even today is our first time here. And yet, Here we all are in a space that has contained over a half century's worth of worship. And why? Well, because God has called us here. We have gathered this morning by divine appointment. It's so easy for us to assume every Sunday morning that we brought ourselves here, but we'd be mistaken to think that we got up, we got dressed, and we brought ourselves here, when in fact it is God who has invited us here, and it is God who has called us here. Like the prophet Jeremiah, whom God formed in the womb and consecrated before birth, we too gather in this space because God has been at work forming us into a community of faith. Our rich history has made its way to this present moment where God has brought us, and we ask ourselves this morning, who are we and who is God calling us to be? Our scripture this morning is about a boy named Jeremiah who is faced with these same questions. And we don't know much about him other than that he was the son of Hilkiah, and he lived during a time when his homeland was invaded by Babylon. Everything had been destroyed, and ordinary domestic and economic life had been shattered. It was in this time of chaos and ruins that God calls Jeremiah and appoints Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. But Jeremiah resists, which is usually the first response of any prophet. Jeremiah thought himself too small to be of service. In response to God's invitation, Jeremiah says, "Ah, but Lord God, I am only a small boy." He was daunted by his own sense of inadequacy, and so he says, "Not I, Lord. Choose someone else. Choose someone who can speak better than me. Choose someone who is more qualified." But God persists. God won't take no for an answer, and so God says, "Do not say that I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you." God makes it clear that God determines who is qualified, not us. As I wonder about who it is that we are and who it is that God is calling us to be, I think how easy it would be for us to assume that we are too small to be of service. After all, we're only one small congregation in a larger church of 16,000 members. But do you remember that our community alone raised $550,000 for Vision for Change, to build schools and open health clinics, to encourage mentoring programs and fight malaria? Jeremiah and our own history remind us that size indeed is not what qualifies us. But perhaps the prophet's resistance and our own isn't really about qualification. Perhaps we resist because the nature of the task is just too much for us. After all, Jeremiah was called not only to build and to plant, but also to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy and to overthrow. Prophets were called to do hard things, to deliver harsh words, to resist the culture, and to preach against the masses. They were called to encourage repentance, to demand justice, and to warn against God's judgment. It's no wonder then that Jeremiah and Moses and Ezekiel and the like, they don't volunteer to be prophets. It isn't a glamorous role. At times it's isolating, at times it's the road less traveled, at times it's painful and terribly difficult. And yet part of the call of the church is to be a prophet. Like Jeremiah, we too are called to bear witness to the God who created us, to the God who seeks to reconcile us, and to the God who demands justice from us. Our call at times will disrupt our conscience. Our call will demand that we look beyond our own self-interest to those around us. Our call will lead us time and time and time again to repentance. And our call will take us out of our comfort, out of this very chapel, to places we might rather not be. My friends, the church does not exist for itself alone. If that were the case, then I'm sorry to say, but this beautiful architectural space will become nothing more than a museum. The church, instead, is the community called into being, built up, and sent into the world to witness and to serve. We don't just gather for praise. As we recite each week in our community liturgy, we ask that God might make us the body of Christ for the world. Like Jeremiah, we have been called for divine service. We have been appointed for a task, to point towards the Star of Bethlehem, as our rose window reminds us, to embody the gospel in all places, as that Greek cross tells us. We are to look towards and follow the way of the cross, showing partiality to outsiders, to strangers, to all those considered alien and unworthy. We are to keep the Lord's table not only at the center of our worship, but at the center of our hearts and minds, as we remember that it is indeed God's table, not ours, and yes, all are welcome. To be the church is no easy task, you see. We are people in covenant who pioneer in the present, the future realities of God's kingdom. Our intention for gathering in Cox Chapel is not to retreat from the world, but to reimagine the world. The church is to be the beacon of hope. The church is to be the advocate for the weak and disadvantaged. The church envisions and works towards God's coming reign and justice, because this is the call that God has for the church. This summer, I've spent time with many of you learning your stories and what it is that you love so much about the Cox Chapel community. And our different services here at Highland Park are distinguished by their style of worship. And so many of us come to this service because it's a service of liturgy and sacrament, and we enjoy high church worship. But what you may not know is that the literal definition of liturgy is the work of the people. This means that we are a service that requires communal work. This means we're a service about participation and not consumption. We're a service that depends upon each person's contributions. Because together we sing our praises, together we read the scriptures, together we confess our sins, and together we partake in the body of Christ and the cup of salvation. And so when we gather, we do so not as individuals, but as a body of one. And when we gather, we confess that it is God who has brought us here. It is God who has formed us before we knew it, knitting us together as a community of faith. And when we gather, we do so in response to God's call. God's call on us to participate in the mission of Jesus Christ in the world, which includes both building and overthrowing. And so before we hesitate, like Jeremiah, to accept such a call, let us hear the words of the Lord again. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. As we look back on the 55 years of witness in this space, we know that God has been faithful to deliver us. As each pastor has come and gone, the Spirit of Christ has always remained. Like the psalmist desired, God has been our refuge, and God has been faithful. God has been our hope, and God has taken care of us since before this time and place. So who will we choose to be? Surely we won't just cherish and protect this beautiful space for our own admiration, but we will let its beauty spark our imaginations. We will let the detail call us towards the true meaning of the colors, to truth, to eternal life, to heavenly strength, and to sacrifice. Surely when we gather, we won't do so just to consume the worship, but to participate in it, allowing ourselves to be changed and to be transformed by it. My hope is that we won't claim to be too small, but instead we'll continue our history of bold service and witness. Let us not resist the call because it demands too much of us. Instead, my friends, as your pastor, let us be faithful and go together where God is calling us. Amen.